Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Sammy P of Fox will join us. We'll go over the World Cup final. We'll go over some baseball bets, football bets. It's that time of the year. We start to transition a little bit more towards football and just a lot of baseball, a lot of football as we are in the dead of the summer here, middle of July. Still got a couple weeks before NFL preseason starts. Preseason's a little later this week. I remember last year, it's like the last few days of July, July 27th, 28th, the Hall of Fame game was a little earlier than usual. This year, I think August 7th. So it's pushed back a week or so, but we're getting there. So a good time to prep, good time to start talking football, which we will do. I mentioned the World Cup final on Sunday. Spain minus 150 to lift the trophy. Argentina plus 130. I know a lot of people have made this comparison to this Argentina team is like the Chiefs team from a couple years ago. They keep scraping by, whether it's getting lucky, whether it's the greatness of Messi, whether it's a combination of both, and that they will be a popular dog here. People will see Messi getting a plus sign and people will be tempted to take them. So Spain minus 150 looks pretty good to me. Spain just seems like the better team, especially defensively. And boy, England, what a terrible loss. You're up 1-0. You're 10-15 minutes away from advancing to the final. The idea that England and France have to play a third-place game is pretty funny. When France thought they'd be playing for a championship, England was a couple minutes away from playing for a championship, and they both have to meet in the third-place game. So who knows what that'll bring. It's supposed to pour. I think they play Saturday in Miami. It's supposed to pour for that game, so take that into account with your handicapping. But, man, it goes to show you, too. And again, no soccer expert. Although both teams to score did cash, which was a good one for England-Argentina. But England, and it goes for all of these sports, when you play to lose, when you get conservative, it so often comes back to bite you. Whether it's taking the air out of the ball in football, what England did yesterday in soccer. I know a lot of people, I was doing a show with Femi Bebefe Wednesday night on VSiN, and he was just out of his mind, basically calling it malpractice, what the England coach did and just how they handled the second half and taking the foot off the gas. And you play to lose in any of these sports. And it's a thin line because you could do like what the Falcons did in that Super Bowl where they were too aggressive and they weren't using the play clock, or the Spurs where they were just chucking up bad threes. So you want to, it is a line to cross. You don't want to be reckless, but you don't want to just go into a shell either. I mean, how many times do you see that in football where these teams, they'll run the ball three times and punt with a one score lead. Next thing you know, they're losing. So terrible loss for England. They are eliminated, and it's Argentina versus Spain here on Sunday. Should be fun. Should be a fun match here with the World Cup coming to an end. It's been good to have this, just have these games on, and they've been good. The matches have been good. It's been a fun summer of soccer. Even if you're just a casual fan, it's been fun to have these games on in the slow time of the year. Spain on the 90-minute line, by the way, plus 130. The draw is plus 195. Argentina to win in 90 minutes is plus 255. So those draw prices are just getting a little bit shorter where, a lot of the summer, you're plus 250, you're plus 300. Some of the lopsided matches were in that 6-7-1 range, and some of those got home. Plus 195 is a little light, and we'll see here if it comes down to extra time or penalty kicks, but that's what you're looking at there for the Cup Final. Baseball is back. Nice to have a game on Thursday with Philly and the Mets. We're recording this right before that takes place. And the Scuba Watch, I think, is the big thing here. It was interesting. And by the way, the All-Star game, dead nut under after three runs in the first inning. And I didn't give this out because the lines were up last time we did the podcast before the All-Star game. But I ended up taking Rice at 45-1, and he got an RBI single. The problem was Bellinger came up before him with the bases loaded and got a two-run single. If they were just flip-flopped in the order, and I thought when the bases were loaded, for some reason in my mind, I thought Rice was coming up, and I saw it was Bellinger. Bellinger gets the hit with the bases loaded, puts the AL up 2-0. Then Rice gets the single after that to put him up 3-0, and that held up. If they're flip-flopped in the order and the same things happen, Rice gets the two-run single, Rice is going to win the MVP just because it was a game where basically nothing happened. It was just so well pitched. And I talk about this all the time with All-Star games. It's so hard to hit because these pitchers that are used to throwing six or seven innings and pacing themselves, they'll come in for one inning. They throw 12, 15 pitches. They can just unload the tank. And they're very hard to hit, especially the American League doesn't see the National League pitchers very often and vice versa. And it's just, it's an environment conducive to pitching, and it makes offense really, really difficult for to produce runs. He got the three runs in the top of the first, and it looked like, man, and the market loved the over, by the way. That got bet up from 7.5 to 8.5. 3-0 in the top of the first. You're thinking, man, I'm on the wrong side of this with the under. And then outside of a Vargas solo home run later in the game, man, nobody, I mean, it was like the ball basically barely left the infield. 15 strikeouts the American League pitching staff had. Bellinger at 50-1 wins the MVP with the two-run single. And the American League, even though the National League's been much better this year, the American League got it done on Tuesday night. Mentioned the Derby on Monday was pretty good. So we turned the page to the second half of the season. I was watching that game thinking, you know, Robleski for the Dodgers. If the Tigers decide, you know what, we're in it, but we can get a guy like Robleski from the Dodgers, left-handed pitcher, and other controllable prospects, outfielders, position players, and we could still, we don't have to punt just because we trade Skubal. We can still sell ourselves, hey, Robleski could be 75-80% as good as Skubal. We've got some other pieces. We can still compete if we trade Skubal. So I wonder if that crosses their mind. I think they'll ultimately hold them. And I keep talking about this, the American League being wide open, where you don't really trust the Yankees. Who knows when Judge is going to be back. The Mariners, okay, they're decent. They got some pitching, but they've been underwhelming. These Red Sox, Tigers, Orioles, some of these teams in the 20-40-1 range, I would not be surprised if any of them, if they got in, if they made a run, because it is a very weak American League. It's just finding the team that can make a run. And remember, this time last year, the Mariners, I think, were 20-25-1 to win the American League, 40-1 to win the whole thing. And that didn't get home, but it got about as close to getting home as it could before that terrible loss to the Blue Jays in the playoffs. I think the Mariners were a good 6-7 games back right around this time last year. But Yankees and Dodgers, right off the bat, they meet Friday night, -110 both ways in Yankee Stadium, the scene of the crime for Game 5 of the 2024 World Series. They did meet last year, but that was in L.A., and just to relive a horrible, horrific World Series loss, that Game 5, that's going to live forever. It's going to live until you win another one. Man, they probably wouldn't have won, but you know what? You're getting on a plane for Game 6. You win that, and who knows what happens in Game 7. And the Yankees and their fans never got that opportunity. Just a comedy of errors in that fifth inning. Judge drops the pop-up. Volpe booted the ball. And after all that, bases loaded, nobody out. After all that, you're going to get out of the inning. But Cole forgets to cover first base. Rizzo doesn't charge the ball. And even after that, the Yankees had a lead in the eighth inning. And the Dodgers celebrate in Yankee Stadium and win the World Series. But that'll be fun. That'll have a lot of juice this weekend. Yankees and Dodgers is always fun. Would have a lot more juice if you had Judge. And that was another thing with the All-Star game, man. There was a lot of stars missing. No Judge, no Otani, no Mizorowski, no Skeens, no Kurtz, no Cam Schlittler, no Skubal. There were a lot of guys missing in that All-Star game. But Yankees-Dodgers always fun, always has some juice. Pirates-Guardians is a big series. We're looking at under 8 there with Jared Jones against Gavin Williams. To me, Jones is an underrated pitcher, a lot of ability. Cleveland can't really hit. Gavin Williams, you know, has good stuff. The Pirates are a team that was playing really well before the break. And it's interesting to see these teams that are really hot, the Tigers, the Red Sox, some of these teams that were on fire going into the break. Does the break cool them off, or do they come out and hit the ground running and they pick up right where they left off? I guess whatever happens, you could probably play the result either way, say, you know what, they were due to cool off anyway. Like if the Red Sox slump, you could say, well, they were going to cool off anyway. Or you could say the break cooled them off. It's hard to know. But Red Sox play Tampa Friday. That's another big series with Boston looking to close ground on these playoff spots and Tampa in a dogfight for the division with the Yankees. That looks like it's going to be Jake Bennett and Griffin Jacks. Boston, a small -125 or so favorite. That's another one I'd probably look towards an under there. And boy, it's hard to bet against the Red Sox right now. It really is. And again, maybe the break hold them off, but it's hard to bet against Boston, who is down to 18-1. They were 22-1. We were doing the show on Sunday that aired on Monday. That has come down 16-1 at FanDuel to win the American League. That's a lot of pitching. That is a lot of pitching they have. Sonny Gray's been outstanding. He's been good his whole career except for his time with the Yankees. And he's still 45-1 in some spots. Cy Young, you look at his numbers, 11-1. Good ERA, good. All the advanced stuff is, it's not quite as good as the surface stuff, but 11-1, the surface stats, the stats people vote on is really impressive. So fun second half of the season coming up. You know, everyone's in the mix. I mean, there's not too many teams. It'll be an interesting deadline because there's just not that many teams out of it. The Royals, the A's, the Angels are out of it in the American League, the Rockies and Giants in the National League, but it will be interesting, some of these teams on the fringe, like the Twins, and obviously the Tigers with Skubal, how they handle the deadline. Do they act as buyers? Do they act as sellers? Do they just say, you know what, we'll keep it in neutral here. We're not going to do anything. We'll just play it out. I would imagine a lot of these teams take it up to the deadline where, if you're the Twins and you have a bad 3 or 4 days before the deadline, maybe end up being sellers. I know the Yankees did that 1 year, 2016, where they lost a couple games to Tampa, and then out of nowhere, they traded Andrew Miller. That was the year they traded Chapman to the Cubs. And they actually ended up making a run. That was the year they called up Judge. Sanchez was a rookie. They ended up making a run out of nowhere, even though they were sellers, and got to within like a game of the wild card late in the year, ended up falling short. And the next year had a really good year. But I think there will be a lot of that. These teams on the fringe letting the next week or two decide what they're going to do. But we'll talk more baseball here with Sammy P. We'll talk some World Cup. We'll talk a little football. Talk some food, too. Sammy is always eating pizza and steak and wings and posting it on his Twitter. So we'll get some food thoughts, too, with Sammy, who's always eating pretty good. So that is next. Stick around. Sammy P. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him now. Fox 32, Bear Bets podcast. And he joins us now. It is Sammy P. Sammy, what's going on, man? How's your summer going? Thanks for coming on.
Don't I look tan? I've been outside. That's number one. Somebody the other day was like, wow, you look tan. I'm like, well, I leave my house now because I have to be out in the field and going to Wrigley and going to Sox Park and covering Bears practice. So I guess my skin looks a lot darker, which is not very difficult when you're built like Casper the Friendly Ghost in that department. But it's been good. Sox are good. Cubs are good. Caleb Williams on the cover of Madden. And it looks like the Bulls just got a superstar in the making in the draft.
Oh, he is going to be good. I like Caleb Wilson a lot. And that is going to be confusing from a Chicago standpoint to have Caleb Wilson and Caleb Williams. You know, I always have to like double check, am I saying the right one? But yeah, Caleb Wilson, you don't want to overreact to summer league, but loved him in college. It seems like he's got the right mentality. Seems like he's got all the tools, and they might have completely lucked out with the fourth pick. We'll do baseball, but first, do you have any thoughts on the World Cup? I know you talked to these bookmakers. Is this going to be the quote-unquote public versus square side? Is the public going to be – or the public versus sharp side? Is the public going to be all over the dog in Argentina? Do you have a feel for this match and what you're looking for in terms of the betting action?
So first sharp push in the third-place game and the final came on the over in the third-place match between France and England. They pounded that thing, man. They bet over three, minus a quarter, minus 130. I think Circa still has minus 140. But a lot of the rec books kind of saw this coming and they're like, let's go to 3.5. So now those books are 3.5 under juiced, of course, but we did see a big push, no doubt. Sharp bets on the over in the third place match. Nothing really too sharp yet in the final. We still got, 3 days until that thing kicks off in, is it New York or New Jersey? I always lose track. New Jersey, I believe. But it sounds like you're going to get a lot of public love on Messi as a dog. And Messi to score a goal, which is not really a surprise and shouldn't be to anybody. But I think you're onto something here. You might see when that Spain, advance price or win price, not the three-way line, just to win the match, to survive, to advance. When that comes down a little bit from the Messi money, I'm sure there will be people willing to bet Spain at minus 145 or minus 150.
Do you buy these comparisons to the 2024 Chiefs with Argentina, where they just keep skating by, they keep skating by, they've got an all-time player like Mahomes was in Messi, and you get him as a dog. Do you sense the comparisons? Do you think this is a Chiefs-Eagles moment? Well, it sounds like you're leaning towards Spain if you had to bet it, right?
I won't bet it. Full disclosure, I was a part of that, over three. I was late. I didn't get the best price, but I did put that in. I have not made a bet on the final yet. Messi to score is probably not the worst idea, even though that's what everybody will tell you. I mean, your 10-year-old cousin can tell you that Messi is going to score a goal. This is not really anything that's too crazy. I haven't lost money against Argentina. Like, I haven't been betting against them, so I'm good with them. But if I was on the other side in a couple of these matches, it would feel very Chiefian for sure. Because I think you made decent bets, whether it be Cape Verde or Egypt or England. You know, there's somebody somewhere that's been betting against Argentina for the last three matches, and they could have lost all of them, right? But they win all of them. There were a couple, like, for me, it was never really Mahomes. For me, it was Brady. Brady killed me so many times, man. Like you'd fade him in the division round and they'd cover in the fourth quarter. Then you'd fade him in the conference. Then you'd fade him in the Super Bowl and they'd just win. I did get him a couple times with the Giants, but for me, I always go back to having money against the Brady Patriots in the playoffs. And you thought you were so freaking cool and so freaking smart. And usually you were wrong.
Yeah, and those Belichick teams with Brady, they would not, no pun intended, they would not take the air out of the ball. They would, you know, they're up 10, they're throwing. They weren't doing what England did yesterday, where it's like you play not to lose. They're always, you know, tacking one on, and you get those front door covers. You mentioned the baseball teams. We'll start the White Sox. White Sox are a fun story. It's almost like the major league movies where it's just a bunch of guys you never heard of. They're overachieving. They're fun, which is ironic because the White Sox were the villain in those movies. Do you think they hang on and win the division? I know you and I were on Bear Bets earlier this week talking about, you know what, Detroit, for a team with that much talent, that much pedigree, you know, they're not dead and buried. Detroit 7-1 to win the division. But you tell me, is there a bet to be made in the Central, whether it's the White Sox, the Tigers, or whoever?
The bet now would be Detroit, but I don't even know that I could get there. And look, in the offseason coming into spring training, we were talking about White Sox over the win total. And there's a listener to Bear Bets that has a 40-1 ticket on the White Sox to win the Central. And I get not daily messages, but I get frequent messages because he's jacked. I could not honestly sit here and tell you to bet the White Sox at 2-1. That's a horrible bet. When it was 40, 35, 30, you know, around opening day. You can't bet too. I mean, you can. I just don't think it's a great bet. I hope they hang on for that guy. I have a little skin in that, but I have over 66.5, and that's going to win. I hope I get the money. I think you joked the other day, like, just give him the money back so he can gamble it again, right? That should be good. But this Tigers team, I mean, they're the best team in the AL since June 1. And it's starting to round into form from a health standpoint. They get Scooble back. We know that this is the most talented team on paper. I guess the question is there enough real estate left in the season? But this AL, man, I mean, look how bad it is. I don't even know that the bet, and I'll give you credit because I know you asked the question, but you talked about this on Bear Bets. I think it's smarter to look at them just to get in and then maybe do bigger things to win the pennant, to win the World Series. I don't know that they win the division, but they should be a playoff team, and that's still an underdog price for sure because they're, what, 3.5 out right now. But these teams in front of them are nothing special. The Red Sox, the Astros, the Orioles, the Jays, like they're all okay. I think if Detroit gets in, they're dangerous. So maybe more than division at 7-1, maybe it's – you brought this up. Maybe it's to win the pennant in the AL.
Any other baseball bets you're looking at?
No, not really. I had this internal conversation with myself, and then I slapped myself in the face. I'm like, do I bet PCA MVP? And then I woke up. I know. It's just you see Ohtani minus 1,000 or minus 1,200, and the wheels spin a bit, but you know what's going to happen at the end of the day.
I've been there. I've had my Lindors. Talk yourself into the Ellie De La Cruz of the world. And at the end of the day, you know what? It's just it's throwing money away. Now, there's the knee issue. That's always the equalizer. But, man, what he does at the plate, what he does on the mound, even though he's regressed on the mound, that's just, there's better ways to spend your money, to bet your money. College. Have you made any bets yet? College football, where are you with your prep? Because, man, I actually think it's a little better this year. I've been saying this. You look at the Heisman odds, you can find like 15 or 20 quarterbacks that you know immediately what team they're on, which you haven't been able to say the last couple of years. It's almost like you have to relearn the sport. But this year, you know, Chambliss is on Ole Miss, and we know the Ohio State quarterback and the Notre Dame quarterback and Arch, and you go down the line. There's a bunch of guys you recognize, but where are you with your prep? Anything you like so far you're looking at?
I'm so behind, man. I'll be honest with you. I mean, this job has been 5 weeks here in Chicago. It's been great. I can tell you this. We'll be, you and I and Baron Jeff will be in Vegas for Bet Bash that first week in August. I'll be ready by then because I have to be ready by then. But with all the moving parts and moving across the country, it's been crazy. I just pulled up the Heisman market though, which is, it always kills me because now I'm in Chicago. When you look at these apps and it says Heisman Trophy, you can't bet an Illinois player to win the Heisman, which always like. It's not like I have inside information. Like, what's the hold? So I can bet CJ Carr in Indiana, but I can't bet an Illinois player at Northwestern or Northern or whatever. I always think that's kind of funny. Hoover at 13-1. I don't think I would ever bet I just have DraftKings up right here. He's obviously the transfer from TCU. That seems insanely low or short for a quarterback like that, even though Mendoza just was really, really special last year. I think Mendoza is certainly taxing Hoover, if that makes any sense. A lot of people are shorting Michigan this year. I see Bryce Underwood at 40-1, and that number kind of speaks to me. I think he certainly didn't have the greatest start to his career, but you know, these quarterbacks, you know this, these quarterbacks from year one to year two often take massive steps forward. And then 2 to 3 is an even bigger step for some of these kids. So I look at Underwood and I just, like, from a number standpoint, I see him at 40-1, and that speaks to me first glance. Mensa is going to get a ton of love at Miami. You know that. He's 12. Arch Manning, 8-1. Would never be me, buddy. Would never be me.
Yeah. Yeah, played better second half of the year, but still 8-1. Doesn't feel like you're getting bang for your buck there. And you know what? Probably get that number or better at some point during the season. NFL, what's your hottest take? What's your most contrarian take? Are you planting your flag on this team's going to be way better than people think? This team's going to be way worse than people think? Do you have a strong NFL take?
Yeah, I'm Jacksonville loaded. I don't know why.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look, not to win the Super Bowl, because when you close your eyes and say Jacksonville Jags, Super Bowl champ, you know you're not going to get that. It's not going to happen. But I do think them to win the division is very, very real. And then, look, if I can get them into the AFC championship game, I can hedge an AFC ticket, obviously. So I'm looking at Jacksonville. I think Cohen is a big deal for Trevor Lawrence. We know that this is a quarterback league. If your quarterback doesn't perform, you can't win in the playoffs. You know, Josh Allen was better than Trevor Lawrence in the playoffs last year, and that's why Buffalo went on. But I don't think that was a fluke. I don't. Now, the Texans are basically even money to win the division, and I am on the Jacksonville side, plus 250. And then if you look at them to win the AFC, they're in that, you know, they're in that third tier, about 15-16-1. But they're behind the Bengals, the Broncos, the Texans, the Chargers. I don't think they're worse than all four of those teams to a man. So that's sort of a team I'm looking to buy the dip on a little bit. It's like they were the 3 seed, but the books and the market sort of saying it was a fluke to have them below all those teams. And I'm willing to find out at 16-1 to win the AFC. I can tell you this, John Murray at the Westgate, he said that a couple different groups have bet the Bengals to win the AFC. So they're right there when they're healthy, and they made a huge move to get Dexter Lawrence. I think some of those cries about how bad the defense was are a little overblown at this point. Like, they're better than they were 2 years ago when they were horrendous and couldn't tackle. That defense is a top 15 defense. Their offense is good enough to get them to a Super Bowl. I mean, we already saw this movie, right? The defense wasn't good when they went to the Super Bowl when Burrow was young. The weapons are there. If the quarterback stays healthy and the defense gives them anything, you're going to see the Bengals around 10, 11 wins. And if they get in, they're dangerous. I like the Jags, but there were some groups that definitely came into Vegas and bet the Cincinnati Bengals, AFC and Super Bowl.
What do you expect from the Bears here? They're going to be a popular team to fade, regression candidate, all the close wins. All of that. Now it's a first place schedule. You're close to the situation. I'm sure the Bears fan is optimistic because, hey, they got in the playoffs. They won a game. They got a young quarterback for the first time in forever. I'm sure you can't tell them anything about regression. I'm sure they're optimistic. Do you share that optimism? And what's just like an overview here of Chicago?
I think they're a 9-win team. I'm not in love with the win total over 9.5. And let's remember that since they fired Lovie Smith at the end of the 2012 season, the Bears have gone over the win total twice, and one of those times was last year. So, you know, after the Lovie era, they only hit it one time, and that was the Trubisky year in 18 when they went 12-4 and got double doinked. I think the number is right on. I have no thoughts either way. They're a coin flip to make the playoffs in my book, and that's exactly what the market has, essentially. You're looking for a Bears bet, though. I think Rome Odunze is priced insanely low. His number, I see a 775.5 over under on receiving yards. Another book has 800. So in these markets, obviously you want to shop around and get the best number, but you want to bet overs earlier. You don't want to be firing overs in August and September, because that's when most people get up to the table, right? If anything, you want to bet these overs early. And then if you're an under player, you can get these numbers that have been, you know, pumped up or maybe bloated a bit. when he's on the field, man, he's dangerous. Let me pull up his numbers. So I had his over in year one. It was 650 and a half, and he flew over that. Let's see. Year number one, well, maybe not flew because he did miss a couple games that year too. Damn. He only started in 12 games his first year, but he had 734, but he was over that in like late November. Last year, I bet him over 750. He had 661 after 12 games, and then he didn't play again. Well,
wow.
I know. So he started 12 games in 24, 12 games last year. I'm dealing with the injury potential, but I mean, there's nothing long term there. He just had two injuries. The number at 775 is very attainable if he stays on the field. This is a guy who gets a ton of targets. You know, last year he had 90 targets. The year before he had 101. If he's out there, he's going to get looks. And you also have to remember they just lost DJ Moore. They traded him to Buffalo. So that's more footballs ideally and more targets for Roma Dunze, who's coming off another injury. But if he's healthy, he's a 1,000-yard guy in this offense, no doubt.
What's the best thing you've eaten recently?
Man, a thin crust pizza from Phil's on 35th Street. I've had
so
much.
That the one GRP pizza had an issue with it? He said that pizza doesn't look good. Was that the one?
Yeah, people are like, it's so funny because I will enjoy a pizza and my buddies and I will get the jumbo pizza and it's, you know, it could feed six, but we eat it. Three of us could eat it. If you really put your mind to it, you could knock it out. No problem. We eat this pizza and collectively I'll talk about how good it was. And then somebody on Twitter is like, that pizza looks like shit. And I'm like, okay, well, it was very good. It was a 9 out of 10, if not more. That's my favorite style, the spongy thin crust. I leave the deep dish for graduation parties and tourists. But yeah, dude, I've eaten so much pizza. And I've lost weight. I don't know how that's a thing. Probably because I'm, like I said earlier, I'm leaving my house and I'm walking around the city and all that. But yeah, you can never go wrong with a thin crust, ever.
What's the food like Wrigley? The White Sox Stadium, are there good options?
Sox have been voted number one food in baseball couple years, which is ironic because the team was the worst ever 2 years ago. Team bad, food great.
Gotta give people reason to come on the team's thing, sure.
Well, they're doing this thing too on Tuesdays because, you know, it's not easy to get people to a Sox game. The team has to be good. It has to be warm. All that, you know, fans don't go in April and May. They want to see if it's real. But they're doing this thing on Tuesday where they do $5 beers, $5 hot dogs, and $5 slices. You're a father of four. You imagine how easier it would be to go to the ball game when you could pay $5 for a hot dog and a slice?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. How the pizza there is good?
They're fine. I mean, it's yeah. Fine. It's ballpark pizza. You know, it's always better from a Chicago pizza place. But yeah, the pizza's good. You can never go wrong with a steak and a potato here. Whether you get it baked or double baked or mashed or whipped or whatever. This is a great food town, man. I mean, Boston had the fresh seafood out of the water in a pasta covered in sauce. Like nobody does that like Boston in this country. But in the Midwest, that's your steak and potato, and that's your thin crust pizza. So I'm happy to be home for those reasons. And I didn't have White Castle in Mass. I've been to White Castle more times than I'm willing to admit too.
Wow. What's the steak? Where's the best steak you can get? What's your favorite cut?
I've been a Gibson's guy a long time. Harry Carey's does a great chop though. Great steaks. So Gibson's, Harry's, and I would say Chicago Cut. Bavette's is really good though too. I mean, you could Adelina steak. I mean, Chicago's a steak town, man. Next time you're here, steak dinner on me, no doubt. We'll get pizza maybe for dessert, but we got to get a steak.
Pizza for dessert sounds good. You mentioned double baked potato. I've never had that. What is that? What does that entail?
They double bake the potato.
So what, you take it out and then you just put it back in? You just cook it longer?
It comes out sort of well done. So if you like a little crunch on your potato, it's good. But they stuff it with cheese and then they cover it with sour cream if you want and chives and all that stuff. You put bacon on it. It's just it's a potato that's baked that's left in a little bit longer, essentially.
I love it. I'll have to try that. Sammy, I appreciate it, man. Let us know where we can find you.
Yeah, just follow me on X at SP Shoot. Follow YouTube, Fox 32 Chicago. And Bear Bets will be at Bet Bash. All four of us are going to be there, and I'm taking the boys to Naked City for wings. You guys don't have a say in that.
We'll end on that. Sammy, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you coming on. We'll catch up soon.
You got it, man. See ya.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back on Monday, which will also air Sunday, 11 o'clock Eastern on VSiN. So check that out. Enjoy the weekend. Talk to you then.